Welcome to a special edition of All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, the author of C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, a companion and study guide to the Screwtape Letters. Well, today is the second of a six-part series called Exploring C.S. Lewis Misquotes and Misconceptions. If you haven't listened to part one, which overviews the entire series, then be sure to follow the show notes for a direct link to it. If you have already heard that program, then you know that I have a special guest host taking over shortly, but it's not the same person each time. Today, Dr. Corey Latta joins me to take over the reins in a moment, and I'll have him give more details about himself at the end of the show. So welcome back to All About Jack, Corey.
Really happy to be here, William. Thanks for having me.
Well, certainly. Well, let me go ahead and have you tell a little bit about yourself, and then at the end, we'll have you have more opportunity to share in greater detail.
Yeah, sure. I am a Lewis scholar and have my doctorate in 20th century literature, British and American. I'm the author of two books, When the Eternal Can Be Met, which is a study of the theology of time in C.S. Lewis's works, as well as T.S. Eliot, W.H. Auden. And my most recent book is C.S. Lewis and the Art of Writing, which is just a look at Lewis's advice on writing, as well as it being sort of a creative biography of Lewis. And I'm working on a book on the imagination and God, more of an apologetic work.
All right. And before I have you pitch the first question, for those who either haven't heard the first episode or as a way of review, during the series, we're looking at misquotes, or really it's misattributions in some cases, but, broadly speaking, we're calling them misquotes. And the misconceptions we'll be looking at in another episode, which will be misconceptions either about the writings or life of C.S. Lewis. For the quotes, I've created three categories. I've not seen anyone else do it this way, and these are not hard and fast categories. I'll be noting later when some kind of fit maybe more than one category. But I like to look at quotes attributed to Lewis kind of like three ways, and that is one is a not Lewis quote, and that is something that's definitely falsely attributed to Lewis. And then the almost category is it's either a paraphrase or it's missing some words or might have some incorrect words, but it has something from the writings of Lewis. And but then the not quite category is actually not really a falsely attributed to Lewis. It's actually something that Lewis did say. But when you isolate what you see there, it's probably going to mislead you because you don't have the full context. Nothing wrong with what Lewis wrote about it, but isolated, just like with anyone's writings that can be isolated, it may not exactly mean what you think it does. And that'll be part of a future podcast. But for now, this is going to be the first of a two-part in terms of not Lewis quotes. So now I'll let Corey set up what we're going to be doing.
So on the show today, we're going to chat about not more than five, but hopefully at least three quotations that, William, you've researched that are not by Lewis. Let's begin, however, with this. How did you become interested in tracking down fake Lewis quotes?
Well, yeah, that's something that I actually myself realized about a year or so after I began reading Lewis, that there was something within Mere Christianity that I had typed out on an index card, and then later I looked and I actually found that I messed up a word. It changed it some, but not a whole lot. But anyway, that was kind of my indirect way of kind of getting into it. But then within the last 10 years, I was noticing, you know, with, of course, social media, which you can have the opportunity to really see some great quotes from a wide range of people, and you don't even have to read their books. Now, that's a double-edged sword, because we do encourage people to read Lewis, but I kind of like to think of quotes as something like a summary at the end of a chapter of a textbook, that if you just read the summary, it's not going to mean as much to you, but if you have, then it will mean. But then sometimes things are just so profound, which Lewis is definitely known for, that they can, you know, stand alone quite well. And there are many quotes. In fact, on my website, EssentialCSLewis.com, I do a quote each day. And it is something that I think is really good from his works. And I try to tie it into around the date that it was published or from a work within the same month. But so I've always been fascinated by Lewis's quotes. So just kind of then, you know, the last several years was like, well, you know, that is this quote really from Lewis? And then I did some research, had the opportunity to collect the various electronic copies of Lewis's works. And so I started covering it, and then the snowball kept rolling down the hill. And so I just kept tracking it and tracking it. And so it's become a large aspect of what I kind of do with Lewis.
Well, what you do, William, is needed now more than ever in a world of social media in which quotes aren't always accurately attached to those who said them. Now, William, on your website, EssentialCSLewis.com, you list over 30 quotations people should question. And while some of them are by Lewis, which is a topic of another podcast, the majority of those quotations are not. In your debut episode to the series, you briefly touched on quotations we'll explore more in depth today. And the first one you pre-selected is this. And many who are familiar with Lewis might have heard this in certain circles. The quote goes, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me." Unquote. Now, why is this from Lewis, and who said it?
Well, this is definitely one, and I try to point out when I do come across quotes that or are very good by themselves, whether they are from Lewis or from an anonymous source or maybe someone else said them. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the quote. It's just a matter of fact that Lewis did say it. In this case, it's something that is a little more tricky in that the fictional C.S. Lewis actually said it. Well, what do I mean by the fictional C.S. Lewis? Many of the listeners probably have seen the movie Shadowlands that came out in the 1990s. Anthony Hopkins played it, and he actually said the line, but it, you know, doesn't mean that the real Lewis did. Now, in the movie, there are some things that they adapted quite well that the majority of it is something taken from Lewis. And in this case, we know that Lewis didn't say it. This again, is a nice quote because, to me, it notes that it's not that prayer changes things, but that prayer changes people and people change things. So there's nothing wrong with this quote, but we want to try to be as accurate as possible and note that, you know, as great as this is, Lewis didn't say it.
Well, William, what did Lewis actually say about prayer? What quotes stand out that were actually spoken or written by Lewis?
Well, obviously there are many different places, if one is familiar with Lewis, that he wrote about prayer. One is a book that's actually a work of fiction. It's called Letters to Malcolm, Chiefly on Prayer. And Lewis was someone who did do a lot of writing to people. In this case, he wanted to say a lot of things about prayer, and he just couldn't find the right way to say it. And then he got the idea for the book. And, of course, talking about that book can be another whole other podcast. But some standalone quotes that I did pull that I found very helpful is one from the fourth chapter of Letters to Malcolm. And he said the following, quote, "We must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us," close quote. And another one from chapter 12 is, quote, "It is so much easier to pray for a boar than to go and see him," close quote. Of course, that one more humorous. Lewis did say some interesting things that might be considered offbeat, and that is definitely one of them. And then there was a letter that is found in the third volume of the collected letters of C.S. Lewis that is quite good as well. And he says, quote, "It is quite useless knocking at the door of heaven for earthly comfort. It is not the sort of comfort they supply there," close quote. And that comes from a letter, December the 3rd, 1959.
Well, let me move on to another quote here. And I've actually heard this quote from people talking about Lewis, even actually teaching Lewis. And every time I've heard it, I've wanted to sort of jump up and raise my hand and say, that's not Lewis. So maybe unpack this one for us. The quote goes like this. "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less."
Again, another great quote that there's nothing wrong with sharing this. It's a matter of being accurate and not saying that Lewis said it. Lewis did say, and we'll get to it later here, several great things about humility, but he sadly didn't say anything that was this quotable. I did a lot of looking around and research, and this is something, you know, even if a person doesn't have electronic copies of Lewis's works, if you're pretty good with a search engine, you can put phrases in and then do some digging, and you can come up with this. I don't remember if I probably Google Books probably led me to it, and then I actually looked at my own copy. But I tracked this down and found that Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which many people are very familiar with, and a revised edition came out, so I'm not sure how it's been reordered or maybe it hadn't been, but the original 2002 edition, you can find this quote in Day 19 in a chapter entitled Cultivating Community. Now, Rick Warren, in that book, he does quite a great job when he does quote other people. He footnotes it. And so one of the things, though, that is interesting is sometimes a quote that gets falsely attributed to Lewis, it's someone that says, or they, if you read it carefully, you see that the person is paraphrasing Lewis. And this does sound a lot like some other material that's in Mere Christianity. And I don't know, for whatever reason, either it was just something that Rick Warren had noted before, and in terms of his writing, it had just come so naturally to him as a summary point that maybe he wasn't necessarily thinking of Lewis, but I can't help but think that he probably was. This is, again, something great because, you know, humility is something that when it's lacking in another person is very easy to notice. However, we are often unaware of it when it's missing in our own lives. And so this is something that helps us to remember that this virtue is definitely something that it takes some effort, so to speak, to keep it as a quality in our lives. And it's something, again, that we should all desire to have.
Okay, but that's really helpful to kind of parse out what Lewis did not say about humility, but maybe you can enlighten us as to what he actually did say about humility.
Well, as I was saying a few minutes ago, in Mere Christianity, he said some great things. They're just not as concise, and sometimes he'll be talking about something, and then in the next sentence, he'll be saying something that is maybe very quotable, but then because he started out with it in the sentence or two before, it doesn't really stand alone quite well. In fact, the first quote that I want to share from Mere Christianity, Book 3, Chapter 8, which is entitled The Great Sin, which is about pride, he says, quote, "It is better to forget about yourself altogether." And so while that's a great thought by itself, it may be kind of hard to kind of, okay, let's see. Yeah, okay, I agree with that. But then also within that chapter, he says, quote, "If anyone would like to acquire humility, I can, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud," close quote. Then finally, another one from that same chapter is, quote, "Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will," and I'm leaving out some words, and then continuing on with Lewis, "not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all," close quote. So I can't help but think that maybe Rick Warren might have been thinking about that, or I know I'm aware at times, and then I'm sure I'm there other times I'm not aware, where I've read another author's work, and then their thought kind of stands out to me, and then in my own mind I summarize it, and then later I'm thinking that thought, but it's like, now where did it come from? So that might have been the case with Rick Warren. Someday, if we're able to track him down to say, hey, what were you thinking about? Were you thinking about Lewis, or you just kind of came up with it? Were you influenced at all by Lewis? But regardless, in this case, we have a clear knowledge that it's not by Lewis. It is by somebody else, and that somebody else is Rick Warren.
Obviously, for the sake of accuracy and good scholarship, we're as concerned with the letter as we are with the spirit. Now, this next quote is a fascinating one in that it's a very recent occurrence, and maybe, therefore, one of the more important quotes we get into today. And I think it's one of the more audacious of the quotes Lewis didn't actually say. This quote supposedly comes from the Screwtape Letters by Lewis, and it's one that many of your listeners have probably come across in this most recent election cycle. It goes like this: "My dear Wormwood, be sure that the patient remains completely fixated on politics. Arguments, political gossip, and obsessing on the faults of people they have never met serves as an excellent distraction from advancing in personal virtue, character, and the things the patient can't control." And the quote goes on. Now, this quote came into prominence and was circulated widely during this most recent election cycle between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Can you explain where this quote came from and talk about how it's actually not from Lewis?
Sure. Well, now, one of the things in terms of the Screwtape Letters, as many listeners might know, I have a book that's a study guide for it. So I was quite interested when this came out, and because of studying and reading the Screwtape Letters, I immediately knew that it wasn't from C.S. Lewis. And it sort of did, it didn't. There were a couple different versions out, and one kind of maybe made it look more like it was from Lewis, and another one maybe didn't so much. But either way, one of the things that makes it so hard to maybe, if you're, you know, aren't very familiar with the Screwtape Letters, is he does start out each letter with "My Dear Wormwood." But right. The ending for all but one letter is "Your Affectionate Uncle Screwtape." So that was a clue that maybe people who had, read the Screwtape Letters dozens of times. If you, were a big fan of the book, you may have, noticed that, keep up the good work. It ends Uncle Screwtape, and then it has the year 1942. So I believe this is something, and haven't been able to track down who wrote it, but this is someone that was trying to do a tribute over the years. And I remember I first started reading Lewis in the early 1980s. And I remember reading the Screwtape Letters for the first time within the first couple of years when I became a Christian at age 16 in 1980, that there were some people that would write in the spirit of the Screwtape Letters. And in articles and different publications, I would see that this, was clearly what someone was doing. It wasn't from Lewis, they didn't claim, but they enjoyed the Screwtape Letters and they wanted to kind of honor it. So I'm sure this individual was just meaning to honor the memory of Lewis and this style of writing. One can go through and read the quote and go, well, Lewis wouldn't really write it that way and things of that nature. And that's not the purpose in terms of today. Just to note that, this definitely wasn't, from Lewis. This is one of the works that I definitely have the electronic version and can easily do a word search. And, again, whether a person agreed or disagreed with it, it's the main thing that we're saying here is it's not from Lewis. If you want to enjoy it as a tribute, people should be more careful with that. And now, in the show notes, though, I will have some links where some other people actually were doing some tracking down. Don't know if they've updated their material, if maybe they have identified, but we'll have that in the show notes for people to actually see the actual quote, because it is quite lengthy and we didn't read all of it. They'll want to do that. And we'll have information about how to get to the show notes at the end of the show.
Now, William, we've got a couple more quotes here, but we don't have time to get to all those right now. I will say that, and I think you'll have this in your show notes, there is one quote which we won't get to that I've never actually heard of. It's the only one I've not heard of. So your listeners may be interested to go check that one out. One quote that I have heard attributed to Lewis, and it's been circulated quite widely, has to do with experience. Let me read you the quote. "Experience that most brutal of teachers, but you learn, my God, do you learn." William, tell us where this quote came from and who actually said it.
It's actually another one that we know is from the movie Shadowlands. As before, the fictional Lewis, played by Hopkins, does say it, or rather something like it. But wait, it gets even stranger than that. When I went back and watched the movie, I found that the fictionalized Lewis said the following, quote, "Experience is a brutal teacher, but you learn, my God, you learn." So, the words, while slightly different, mean the same, but it's kind of funny that this falsely attributed quote to a real Lewis is most frequently misquoted. Now, at this point in the movie, when the line is said by this fictional Lewis, you get the impression he is overtaken with emotion and does not know how to handle it because it's so foreign to him. That is, that he really never knew what pain and suffering was like until this point. This is a misconception that is addressed in my misconceptions material online. The false notion that Lewis never experienced any pain until his wife died. And so there'll be a link in the show notes to that as well as the other material that we're covering. Well, now, finally, let me mention that another variation of this quote showed up on a TV show with Tim Allen called Last Man Standing. In that episode that first aired on March 31st, 2017, his character says, quote, "Experience is a brutal teacher, but you'll learn, my God, you'll learn." Again, not a lot of difference, but it's just plain funny to me that this fake Lewis quote is misquoted so much. Either way, whether you enjoy this quote or not, know that the real Lewis didn't say it, and so don't share it with memes that say he did.
That's really helpful, William. So tell us, what did Lewis actually say about experience?
Well, in terms of experience itself, it won't be as directly related to this falsely attributed quotation, but there are a couple things that I pulled out from the writings of Lewis. In the first chapter of Miracles, he said, quote, "What we learn from experience depends on the kind of philosophy we bring to experience," close quote. And then from Mere Christianity, Book 4, Chapter 1, he says, quote, "Doctrines are not God. They are only a kind of map, but that map is based on the experiences of hundreds of people who really were in touch with God," close quote. And actually, as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, that isolated may not make as much sense, but a lot of times in terms of sharing quotes, we want to encourage people to read the original writings of Lewis, and that is one of the overall purposes of covering this material, is to encourage people to read Lewis, verify quotes that are from him. And again, my website, I try to bring a quote that is related to the month or day of the year, so you can have something fresh. I do the same one every year, but you know, that's 365, 366 quotes, so I don't think people will mind it repeating that so infrequently. So, you know, again, it's very important to carefully consider quotes and whether they're by Lewis or not, and to correctly identify. Just to tease the listeners a little bit more, that quote that we're not dealing with because of time here is, quote, "Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. Let go to move forward." Another aspect of experience that's not Lewis. We'll have a link in the show notes where individual can read about why that is not from Lewis.
Well, William, thanks for your time here, and really enjoying the series, and think listeners will too. It's helpful in parsing out what Lewis actually said and what he did not. So thanks.
Well, Corey, I very much appreciate you stepping in as the host today, and I'm going to have you share some more about yourself in a second, but let me give a little tease about what the third episode of this series is going to deal with. We should be at least covering the following three quotes, which again are not by Lewis, and learn about why they are not. "Children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work." That's one. Another, "You are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream." And then we'll get at least a third one in, and that is, "Be weird, be random, be who you are, because you never know who would love the person you hide." So those quotes are not from Lewis. Be sure to listen to the next episode to find out about why. Well, Corey, again, thanks for helping me out here with today's episode. You mentioned a little bit about yourself. Give us some more detail about yourself, maybe more about the last book you wrote about Lewis and the one upcoming, or however you want to handle that.
Yeah, thanks. As I mentioned before, my most recent book is called C.S. Lewis and the Art of Writing, and it really comes from a letter Lewis wrote to a young student named Joan Lancaster, where he gives Joan five bits of advice about writing. It's not the only time that Lewis gave specific advice about writing, but the way he set the letter up provided a good framework for the book. So the book's really about Lewis's reading and writing life, how reading formed him as a creative and how writing was his primary form of creativity. And it really serves as kind of a creative biography of Lewis, as well as a compendium of all Lewis had to say in terms of advice about reading and writing. So that book came out in November of 2016 and digitally at the beginning of 2017. So it's fairly new. And then I'm working on a book on the imagination and God, and it's going to be an apologetic text. And it came from an article I wrote for a journal Houston Baptist University has called The City. Particular journal was on atheism. That volume was on atheism. And I just started with a premise that there are atheist authors, but there are no atheist stories, that all stories contain truths that are imbued with meaning that simply can't be changed and can't be ascribed to human origin or social construction or anything like that. So from that, I became interested in the concept of the imagination and how the imagination insists on the presence of a supernatural being. So that is the book I'm working on now. It will be called The God Behind the Veil. And I hope to finish it this year, but it should be out late 2017 or early 2018.
This All About Jack podcast is a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. All About Jack is also part of the Theology Mix podcast network. Let me also mention that this episode is sponsored by Shelley & Son Books. You can find Shelley & Son Books online at ShelleyAndSonBooks.com. They specialize in rare books by Lewis, Tolkien, and the Inklings and Friends. You can order by their website, phone, or email.
They accept a variety of payments, and you can browse and search their catalog online. Again, that's ShelleyandSonBooks.com. Shelley is spelled S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. And don't forget to check the show notes for links to the material mentioned in the show today, along with links to my guest host for this episode. You can get those notes either at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for the show corresponding to the Lewis misquotes and misconceptions, but it might be easier to locate the show where the audio files are hosted at allaboutjack.podbean.com. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. If you found this show later than when it was initially released, then you can hear the next episode by going over to EssentialCSLewis.com or allaboutjack.podbean.com and then look for the Flooring C.S. Lewis Misquotes and Misconceptions. Before ending, I want to also remind you that I have a book that is an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters. It's called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. You can learn more about it by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Purchasing the book is a great way to support this free podcast. The book is available in paperback or on the Kindle. Additionally, I do plan to update the show notes when details are available at a book version of this material that you're listening to now. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.